Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Dental Practice Heroes podcast. I am your host, Dr. Paul Etchison. We're going to get some tough and pertinent questions answered today. What do we do with those morning huddles? Why do they become so boring? And how do we get team members to just add in same-day dentistry? Like, I know a lot of us dentists, we're kind of scared. We don't want to ask because we know they're overwhelmed and we don't really want to make the day more overwhelming. But how do we get these systems to work? Among many, many other things, I've got a great guest on, a repeat guest, and we're just going to discuss all things practice management. It's going to be one you don't want to miss, so let's get to the interview.
The Dental Practice Heroes Podcast, where successful dentists share their best systems, methods, and lessons learned to help you achieve early financial freedom through profitable practice ownership. We're here to talk about operating a successful dental business through communication, strong leadership, and by being the hero for your patients and your team.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Dental Practice Heroes podcast, where we believe that armed with knowledge and intentionality, anyone can become the hero that their practice needs and deserves. I'd like to welcome my guest. She is a repeat guest on the podcast, has a master's degree from UC Davis, and has been providing coaching and consulting services for over the past 3 decades. She is the owner of Melinda Hereford, Inc. Please welcome to the podcast, Melinda Hereford. How you doing?
Doing great, Paul. So great to be here with you. How have you been?
I have been so good. We were just talking before we hit record about how it's been a while since we've had you on, but it's funny, your team reached out to me and you were on my list for me to reach out to you as well.
Awesome.
So it was a mutual connection that like the universe just made happen, I guess.
I love it when it works like that, don't you? It's perfect.
It's the best. It's the best. So before we get into our interview, why don't you just tell the listeners like your history, your background into dentistry and what you've been doing for the past long time, I guess.
A long time. I started in dentistry, Paul, when I was 14. So my 8th grade counselor said, you should be a hygienist. So I'm like, okay, I'll be a hygienist. That was really the beginning of my career. I lived in a teeny tiny town, so I was able to work for my general dentist and orthodontist. Child labor laws don't exist in small towns, as you know.
That's great.
I got to work with them, and it's really incredible to work with people that are passionate, right, about anything. But I was fortunate enough to work for a general dentist, and his wife was passionate about dentistry. It really instilled this passion for what we're able to do. We can transform lives. I mean, it's like not every career has that. I'm still fired up about that. I still love that idea. And then I worked for a group, lots of different practices, but I worked for a group practice, which is a great, it's a great experience to be able to see multiple facilities, same roles, what's scalable, what's not scalable. And so I got some early experience and had some really good owners in that practice. So that was super helpful. And then I went to work for a management company. And then I've been consulting ever since. I think the diversity of being able to see practice after practice is super cool, right? Every practice is some faction of their owner, some mirror of the owner, and kind of different strengths and different struggles. That has engaged me really for an incredible career of making a difference from this vantage point.
You mentioned that we get to change lives. And I even on the smaller front, I always tell my team, we have the opportunity to really create an experience that's very different from what people are used to at the dentist. Like there's so many bad dental experiences. Like we have that opportunity to really just show somebody, hey, this isn't as bad as you've been previously treated or you previously thought. And that's like one thing I tell my team all the time. So recently you've made some changes in kind of like simplifying the way that you're teaching systems. Why did you feel like that was an important thing to do for you?
Our team members are overwhelmed. There's a lot to do. I mean, even if you just think about an ordinary day, there's hundreds of steps in seeing every single patient. We used to teach 44 systems, Paul, like as a dentist and an owner, like when I say 44 systems, what's your gut reaction to that?
It sounds like if I have 0 systems, that's a lot, but I mean, I believe it.
I really do. There are a number of systems. It's a cool thing. I mean, any business does better with systems. Of course, we know that, but I really exercise some like laser focus of those 44. What is the 80%? What delivers? What's the 20% of those steps that delivers the 80% of the result? That whole Pareto's thing is alive and well in everything we do. We shaved it down to 8 systems. And even within those, we're really exercising muscle about what makes the difference here. What is it that makes a difference? Because Jim Collins wrote the book Good to Great. You've probably read that book. It's an awesome business classic. He talks about as human beings, we can't focus on more than 3 things at one time and do well. So if we have a list of 20, then it's like this frazzled focus. And it's really hard to land a really good result. And so that's really what had us like, let's shave this back, let's simplify, and let's make things that people can land, the team members can land. And so we've built a whole system around that concept of the 20%.
Would you mind like briefly just sharing what those 8 things are, just listing them?
Yeah, you bet. We have a system called the Game Changer. In that Game Changer system, Paul, is huddle and chart check and a way to put all of that on the schedule and pass off. So that Game Changer piece, we feel like is fundamental to making sure that all the treatment is done and teed up. Get paid first, that switch it to solve it. Scheduling mastery is one of our systems, and we have incentives on that one. Getting to yes, which is treatment acceptance, smile retention and follow-up. Recare is the foundation of a practice. It's the backbone of a practice. Team meetings, we have 5 team meetings that we really promote and think that those muscles make communication good and can make the team on the same page. Role clarity and accountability. We've shifted from job descriptions, Paul, to performance agreements. Everybody has 3 results that they're responsible to achieve. And again, this is the Jim Collins piece. Like, you land these 3 things. You have hundreds of things you do in the day, but these are your 3 things. So super focus for each team member. And then automations and tracking. In the automations, we want everything that could be possibly automated, automated, so that we can free our team members up to really focus on the patient, focusing on that interaction. That's really where the gold is, right? That's really where that relationship and getting our patients loving on them enough to find out what's important to them and figuring out how to have what's important to them marry to what the treatment's about so they can get what they need and they also get to be healthy and beautiful if they want to be.
Love it. Love it. So like, what do you typically see when you go into an office? What kind of results do you typically see when somebody starts focusing on just bigger best practices?
I'll give you an example. So one of the things that we started doing, Paul, is with our clients, we have a meeting the first part of the year. We bring them all together and they design their WIG, their wildly important goal, with their office manager. So they have a game plan when they start the year. It's like, this is our focus. With those clients that have that kind of focus and execute on those 8 systems, we're seeing, I just reviewed the results for this quarter to quarter. So third quarter to third quarter, like through September, one of them had 54% increase in the net hourly production for the doctor. Wow. 35% for, I know, it's awesome, isn't it?
That's incredible. That's a life changer. Yeah,
it is. It is a 35% increase in collection. Amazing results like that and pretty consistent across clients. It's the power of focus, and it's also the power of systems. Phenomenal results. And these are larger practices. They're not starter practices. They're more mature practices. It's not easy to press on the gas on a mature practice and get that kind of result. So I'm just super excited for my clients and honor that focus in them.
It's interesting that you talk about the focus and distilling it down and making it, I mean, taking bigger things and making them smaller. I was having a coaching conversation with one of my clients last night, and his goal is to drop down to 3 days and to bring on an associate. And he's talking about doing his year-end planning, and we're talking about what he wants to do. And he's like, gosh, I just feel like I'm so overwhelmed. I have so many things. I have to get another hygienist. I get another DA. I need to find an associate. I need to change the hours. And I said, hey, your big goal is that you just want to make this a 2-doctor practice. And then Dude. All the other steps we just put underneath there. Yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, I guess that is my big goal. He's like, I feel like I have too many goals. I think a lot of us do this and we overwhelm ourselves.
Dentists are perfectionists also. So I think that lends itself to a list of many because there's so many things to improve. I love what you did with that. It's like, let's make this, I would call that a wig, right? Your wig is a two-doctor practice. Awesome. Okay. Cool. All of a sudden, the chaos drops and okay, I can do that, right? Which is so that belief piece is the primary important part, right?
Absolutely. So huge. Absolutely. So like what single system in your experience, like it has often like produced the most results in your clients' offices? And why do you think that's such an important system?
It's our game changer, what we call our game changer system, Paul. It's the everything about today and everything about the next visit. Our game changer is that they review their day before they get there. Providers review like who's coming in and not just what are we doing today, because of course we're going to do what we're going to do today, but what's next and what are the conditions that we're paying attention to for that patient. And the focus is more on what's next than on today, because we're going to get done what's on the schedule, no question. But it's so easy to release a patient and say, went great today, see you next time. So really that in chart check, they're clear about not only what they're doing today, but what's next. That gets translated onto the schedule. That gets reviewed in the huddle. And then there's some amazing strategy about same-day dentistry. So my clients that are super successful have figured out how to do same-day dentistry as well as all this prep work. So that when they do huddle, they're also really looking at what can we accommodate today of what's next for the patient. It doesn't work for every dentist, but it works for the lion's share of the dentist. It's like if we have changes in today's schedule, we can move people over from hygiene and we can move people back and forth. The patients love that because we can take care of their needs today. And the team, if they're agile enough and functioning as a high functioning team, they can make those shifts. And that same day dentistry really is a result of the game changer. So even if we don't accommodate it same day, because sometimes we can't, we're teed up for the next visit. So when the focus is always about that, we stand a better chance of our patients accepting treatment, which is really our most important thing to get to health, is that they are accepting what the doctor's finding. Because without that, it's just a conversation and they don't get healthy and they don't necessarily get to a beautiful smile because they're not saying yes. Does that make sense? So the whole design of Game Changer is to really support that patient in whatever the doctor's recommended, how they're finding that that's important to them and they're saying yes to the care, because then it's this beautiful thing. So we can get our patients to health and improve their smile if they want that. And that feeds our whole, I mean, it's what we're about. At the end of the day, that is what we're about. That is why we are dedicated to this profession, because we want to help people in that way.
Yeah, so true. Now you mentioned like the same day dentistry. I just wonder, curious, I see a lot of people that struggle with this with their teams because they're almost scared to say, hey, we're going to do this today. Like to tell like their assistants or to tell, hey, let's set up this room. We're going to do this today. What would you say to a client that feels that they're holding back because they don't want to upset a team that doesn't want to add another thing to the schedule?
Yeah, it's beautiful that you're asking that, Paul. I just did my mastermind for owners. It's a once a month thing that I do with my clients. We meet, just the owners meet. And we were talking about those instances where it's hard to say, it's hard to tell the patient what's next. It's hard to tell the team what's next because you don't want to be perceived like wanting the money or being right. The wrong intention or all of that stuff that goes on in the mind of a dentist. We were just talking about what it takes to build that confidence, because it is a mindset and it's like you have to shatter some of those old beliefs like that, like the staff's going to think poorly of me or they're going to complain or they're going to be upset or the patient's going to think poorly of me. Those are just ideas that the dentist has in their head that really stop them. Part of what we're always working on is really helping them shatter those beliefs because they don't serve. They don't serve the patient and they don't serve the dentist and they don't serve the team. Part of that is like having them get conscious of them. So one of the dentists in the owner's power session was just talking about, you know, he bought this practice that it's an older patient base and there are a lot of aging restorations. And you know what that means, like they're just sitting there, right? And they need to be tackled at some point. He's had a hard time, like he'd do it a tooth at a time, but not say anything about the rest of the teeth. And so he's really been working to say, like, lay it out there for the patient. They get to choose. They need to know what's happening for them. It's been a process to answer your question of him really seeing why this is beneficial to the patient and to the team. So I think that's what I would say. It's like, how does the dentist, as a dentist, you got to be able to walk on the other side of your belief and say, how could that be beneficial to my patients to tell them everything that they need? How can that be beneficial to do it same day? And I've had clients that have made that jump a long time ago, they can talk to the dentist and that's helpful, right? They're like, no, this is way better. Patients love it when you have them stay and get it done. They love it. Do that. So then when they get in that in their heart, they're like, oh, it's easy to say it, right?
Yeah. I think for a lot of people, it's not I want to kind of thing. It's like, I have to, I'm going to get this done. Yeah. I should do this. Yeah. And then they go and they finally make their appointment and they're showing up and they're just happy to check this thing off the list for 6 months. And now they have to come back for treatment. And now it's like, they didn't get anything done. Like they still have to go to the dentist. But then when they can get it done that day, they're just like, oh man, it's great. I'm done with the dentist for 6 months. This is great.
It's beautiful, right? It's beautiful. It's like saves them a trip. It's like saves the anxiety, all those things. And we have to get ourselves there first as clinicians to be able to recommend it wholeheartedly. We have to have a team that can do it, right? You have to have the ops. You have to have the ability to do that. But absolutely, patients love that. They love it when you get into that zone. It's wonderful. But yeah, it's like anything, Paul. It's like we have to get ourselves to that place first before we can step in.
Yeah, it's funny. And I never even thought about the anxiety factor of it, that we're saving them a lot of anxiety that they may have for the next few weeks until they're waiting for their appointment. I mean, how long do they have to be anxious about it? Maybe a few minutes before we get started, and then that's it. You're done.
That's it.
I love that.
It's beautiful. And people don't like coming to the dentist. So it's like don't make them worry about it again, right?
Absolutely. Hey everyone, I just wanted to share a recent success story I just heard about. 6 months ago, Dr. Dushyant Patel of Sumner Dental Group in Tennessee reached out to Relevance Marketing because he wasn't receiving a whole lot of traffic from his website or anything online. Relevance expanded the online presence by listing the dental office in all the online directories with consistent information, which is super important, fixing any errors, along with redesigning his website using content that Google upranks, all the while keeping aesthetics and search keywords in mind. They then began to publish blogs and information relevant to dentistry using the search keywords for their area. Now, in just a few months, Sumner Dental was in position number one or number two on the Google Map Pack and organic listings for almost every single dental keyword. They saw an 88.9% increase in phone calls, as well as 115% increase in interactions with their Google business profile. Now, if you think having your phone ring almost twice as often with new patients could really change your practice, well, you're right. If you're looking for a transparent, no contracts, no BS, and results-driven online marketing program, look no further than RelevanceOnlineMarketing.com. It's who I've been using for almost 5 years. Can't say enough good things about them. Hey, mention the Dental Practice Heroes podcast and you'll get your first month free. Go to RelevanceOnlineMarketing.com to schedule your free demo today. That's www.RelevanceOnlineMarketing.com. So I want to rewind to when you're talking about looking at the schedule every morning, because I feel like morning huddles are something that a lot of dentists were like, we should. We started doing it. They got stale. We stopped doing it. We started doing it again. Oh, it was great. And then it got stale and we stopped doing it. How do we like make a morning huddle kind of routine that will stick and that's valuable and that the team wants to show up and sees the value in, rather than this chore we do in the morning where after a while we just stop doing it because everybody hates it?
I would say first, Paul, part of how we handle that as consultants, because we're not in the practice, right? We're not in those practices. So we don't have boots on the ground. So we really work with the leadership team, office manager, department leads. That's one of the things that we like to carve out with our clients, is that there's an office manager, there are department leads, and those leaders are often you can infuse that zealotry in the leaders for their part in the huddle. What is required, I think, in having an awesome huddle is that you do change it up about every 6 months. Like you make a slight change. And like I have people doing Zumba for 5 minutes in their huddle, or they do a joke. We can be endlessly clever about how to engage our team members in a huddle. And I think it takes a leadership team to be able to execute on that, Paul. So that's what we found to be super successful is that leadership team. Like we have the elements of a huddle, like, okay. And we have incredible suggestions for how to switch it up because we've seen a bunch of it. I'm going to be consulting for a long, long time. So we've seen a lot of different permutations of huddle. But I think to keep it real and to keep it fun and engaging, it has to change slightly so that it's not boring and mundane.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
The other thing I would say is don't read the schedule. Like if you're looking at the schedule, don't read the schedule. Right. That's not what huddle's about. Huddle's about sharing the stuff that doesn't show up on the schedule.
Yeah. That's a good point. I've been at the read the schedule meetings and I've done it. Guilty. Death. So guilty. Yeah. So now this episode is going to be released right around mid-December. So we're coming up on the end of the year when a lot of people might be doing their planning for 2024. What would you want to say to doctors who are looking forward at this next year and thinking about what their goals should be and what kind of things they should be striving for? What would you want to tell them?
What I would say is like, do a groundhog. Take a look at this last year. What really worked for you? What didn't work? Where are the bottlenecks? And then one of the things about choosing a wildly important goal, I used to have people do visions, Paul. Dentists don't do vision. They don't like, what? What is a vision? No. I don't care about it. You know, wow. So now we do a wildly important goal. And so it's like, what will drive success for the practice? What will drive success for the practice? And so this is where there's like, take a look, like what has contributed to your success so far? What is the one thing that could drive everything? So that's that piece of like, okay, what could drive the success of your practice? So I think that's the part that is important. And then it can't be just financial. So I can't just say we're going to increase our production by 100,000 or 1 million or whatever it is, because that is not very inspiring to a team. So you have to take that goal, and it usually is a financial goal. It's usually increased treatment plans. That was a lot of what our clients did this year, is they wanted to increase their getting to yes. I think it's really important, whatever the doctor chooses, that they choose a goal. Critical. I don't care what your goal is, like having a focus helps your team. They want to know where you're headed. They don't want to do business as usual. I mean, they will do business as usual. Like, okay, we wake up, we take our patients, we write up our charts, and then we go home. And then we wake up, we take care of patients and write up our charts. So a goal has a focus that's bigger than that. And I think that helps a team, right? It's like, cool, we got some big things we're focused on. What I would say is, translate the financial goals to something about patient care. We're going to care for patients. We're going to have this many more patients do their treatment this year. How cool is that? It has to be translated through patient care, because that's what your team cares about, right? They don't care about making a doctor richer, right? It's like, yeah, whatever. They need something at stake. So I was talking to my clients, like what drove their results this year. That was the conversation we just had in our mastermind. And many of them have a daily bonus, a daily incentive, and they feel like that really helped drive the results. Lots of different ways to get there. But I would say first, make sure you have a goal. Make sure you have something you're going for.
That's great advice. I mean, I really like the idea of it can't be just, hey, we're going to hit 2.5 million this year. It's, hey, we're going to help this many people, or just making it something that the team can hold on to. Because I often see that with systems. When we have systems fail, we often didn't discover what the why was, why it was beneficial to the patients. And we never expressed it to the team. So I really like that you're bringing that up. All right, let's move on to the segment where we share little systems that add up to big results. Melinda, what is your little system?
Little systems.
The 10-day check. The 10-day check is the clinical lead and the restorative scheduler. And often the doctor look at the schedule the next 10 days. You know, one of the systems is ideal day or having time management in your schedule. So the rock blocks, and we have it all templated out. Well, what happens is that template gets violated. When it gets violated, nobody pays attention. We just let the violation happen. And like one of my clients said this week, he's like, it's overwhelming to me. He's a big producer, but he said, I hate it when my schedule's violated, right? Because it's like all these little appointments and the big ones, and everybody's saying yes to everything. And it just is a mess, right? You know what I'm saying.
Exactly.
So that 10-day happens on Monday. You check out the next 10 days and the violations get fixed. And when the violations get fixed, there are less violations, of course,
right?
Because we set that ideal day up to get you to goal in a reasonable fashion where you work less hard because we're managing your time. There's a design. There's a reason we do that. So then saying yes to all those little appointments is not helpful. The 10-day checks is to make sure we're sticking with that ideal day so we can have happy providers, doctors and team members, and productive providers.
And the patients, where we're not rushing through patients and we're getting the best care possible because we're not behind. And a violated schedule, in my experience, gets violated more. Because it was already violated.
Yes.
It was already messed up. So then I put something next to it that didn't belong there.
It's just the deal, right? Too. And it's hard for the dentist. You almost have to take the dentist out of it because they'll say yes, right? You almost have to have the lead assistant, whoever's the strongest, right? Whoever's the strongest. Somebody has to say, no, we can't do that.
Somebody
you got to move
them
over
advocate.
Here.
Right.
Somebody does. Somebody does. Absolutely. And you're right. It's a win-win for everybody when we're doing it.
It really is. All right, let's move on to the segment where we celebrate that all of us are human and none of us is perfect. Melina, let's get real.
Everybody get down. It's about to get real in here.
What is the biggest struggle at your business right now, and what are you doing about it?
So I was thinking about what are offices struggling with, and I think it's lack of team members and lack of trained team members and cancellations. I think those are the two big struggles. My message is, you know that old adage, I pay people so they should just do what I pay them to do,
mm-hmm.
right? You know that like
I
is
never
so
thought of that, but
old.
Yeah.
It's so old school. It's so old school. So, I mean, people count, your people count, and keeping them engaged is essential. So this year, I think we've done a lot of work on culture, creating a great culture. I mean, you're probably really good at that. Your personality is so good, but I'm imagining you're conscious. Yeah, you're welcome. I imagine you're conscious of what you do to make sure people stay with you. I'd say that's the first thing, because the turnover and the constant chug, if a doctor finds themselves in that, I would say take a bit of time and work on your culture. Make it a place that people want to be and stay. And then there's interviewing and all that other stuff. But I think stopping turnover and then choosing correctly, it would be a solution that helps with that. And then the cancellations, part of this is just really paying attention to who you put on the schedule. And if they are a violator, if they constantly cancel, or, you know, Paula, it's like, oh, I know that patient, they're not even going to show. Those people, I would not put on the schedule, or I'd put a deposit on that appointment. So it's like, let's be conscious of who we're putting on the schedule so that we have a strategy for those people if we're going to schedule them.
Yeah, we do the same thing with the deposit. And I would say 75% of the people don't like that policy and they go somewhere else, but that's the intention. I mean, that's exactly what we want. We want them, because they're not going to waste our time anymore.
That's it. There needs to be a consequence, and that's what that is, right? I mean, everything needs a consequence. That's how people know, right?
Yeah. All right. If you could go back in time to the beginning of your career, what do you wish you could tell yourself?
When I think about the beginning of my career, I would tell myself to go find the leaders in the industry and make friends with them, like have them be mentors, because I think it saves so much time when you can learn from people who've already gone through all that So yeah, I think mentors and having people that can guide you.
Yeah. Share a story where you learned a valuable business lesson from an experience or the hard way.
This is one of the things as a consultant, here's a good system, do this system because I said so, right? Now, are people going to do it? Are they going to do it because I said
so? Not always.
They are not. No.
No.
Not always. Yeah. Some people are naturally compliant, but that's unusual, right? That's the random ones. I think that's been really the learning for me is if I want to lead people to some destination, the key is I'm leading them. So how do I do that? How do I find out what motivates them? How do I find out what's in it for them? How do I find out about them? How do I know them? I mean, I would say that to any leader in the office, to the doctors, it's like there is a lot of value to really knowing your people and then figuring out how do you make what you want them to do attractive to them. Why should they do it?
Right. I mean, you're saying like the leader, it's a little bit more than just making decisions and calling the shots.
Yeah.
It's about inspiring and getting a following.
Yeah, totally. It is about inspiring and getting a following. So, so true. So, so true.
Hey everyone, this is Dr. Ty here doing with Colorado Surgical Institute. Dr. Brisky and myself have really enjoyed doing these podcasts with Dr. Etch and talking about everything clinical. So keep your guys' feedback coming. It really helps us curate what we're going to be talking about on the podcast. If you want to learn how to do live patient surgeries and actually do the work yourself with the guidance of Dr. Brisky and myself, come out and see us. We're in Northern Colorado. We're just north of Denver, and we can have you do anything from single implants to wisdom teeth to IV sedation to oral sedation, bone blocks and GBR and sinus lifts, vertical and lateral, and full arch with the whole digital workflow using photogrammetry, 3D printers, mills, and all of the above. So we're here to help. Reach out to us. You can call Chris Richards, our director, at 970-420-6148, and he will definitely have a hero discount for you guys because we love Paul and we love DPH.
Tell the listeners, what are you guys offering? What are the offerings that you have for consulting? And what are you guys up to coming up?
Yeah, we're doing some fun stuff. We just started working with our clients this year on paying attention to calls, the conversations on calls, and how do we engage our patients?
That's always fun.
It is. It is. It's super time consuming, but it really is. It is valuable because I don't know that we always know what we're saying. You're probably aware when a new patient calls, often our muscle is, great, what's your insurance? And let's get you scheduled. Like it kind of goes like that, where really that new patient call is your first opportunity to create a long-term bond with them. Their insurance is the last thing that's important. Really, like what has them calling right now? So we have a new patient phone training that's really designed to switch a few things so that that interaction is about creating a long-term connection and relationship, not just processing the call. The other piece that we have is we do have a financial arrangement form that we use that really is designed, Paul, to create a statementless practice. That's really, we're very big on, we should send no statements. We should have no AR, really patient AR, because we have a really good system. So we have a financial arrangement form that does that. When they implement it with a dialogue, they can to create a statementless practice.
And where can the listeners find more information about the programs you're offering? What's your website?
You know what? I will give you a bit.ly link that we can use. Will that work?
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great. I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, and they can also contact us directly, melinda@melindahereford.com, and we will be happy to send that. So we'll do both of those.
Excellent. All right, let's move on to the Dental Practice Heroes Sexy Six.
Six sexy questions.
What is your favorite quote and what does it mean to you?
I love this quote, progress, not perfection. I think this is so good for dentists. Progress, not perfection. We're not going for a perfect plan. We're not going for a perfect huddle. We're not going for a perfect schedule. We're going for progress. What is better than what we have right now? Because you know, that thing is if we can get started and get moving on things, we can make things better as we go.
Yeah, have to start moving. What are you reading right now?
The one that I'm reading right now is called The Leveraged Business by Fabian Fredrickson. It's about scaling businesses. I'm a systems person. I love systems. I think the reason I love systems is because I know it allows us to actually have our jobs be easier because we do things the same way every time. So there's less redos and less repeat. This is about how do you leverage a business so that it's less effort and more result.
Recommend a single book that all dentists should read.
There's a book by Dan Sullivan and Ben Hardy. It's called The Gap and the Gain. Have you heard of it, Paul?
Yeah, I've read it. It's great.
Yeah, isn't it a great book? I think it's so great for dentists because if we can frame things in how things are working, not what's wrong, but what's right, it is a great motivator and inspirer for those people around us.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one. Recommend a seminar or continuing education.
Anything to do with being a more confident communicator is an awesome thing and a more confident leader. And so a couple tools that I think are helpful. Toastmasters is one of the tools that I think is really beneficial. And Dale Carnegie has a course. There's a course called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I think that's a tried and true staple on being good with people.
Yeah, I think that's like a 6-week course, or they have different versions of it. But
different
I've looked
versions.
Into those for my team. I have never sent them, but I've looked into it before. Just never pulled the trigger on it. But all right, please share an analogy that you use to communicate an idea to a doctor, client, just whatever you want.
Finding the patient motivator or finding a staff motivator, like what motivates this person to do what they do. Team members have a hard time asking patients about finding the motivator. It's like, really, you want us to do that? But finding the motivator is kind of like with your kids. You have kids, right, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
So each kid is motivated in a different way. Would you agree?
Different. I feel like me and my wife have created different styles of manipulation for them, I guess. That's what we always say.
It is. I mean, manipulation is one way to say it, but it's like you're talking their love language, right? You've got to figure out what's their love language so you can get them to do what you want them to do. So if patients want to be healthy, it's kind of like we need to find their love language like we would with our kids. Right? And we need to speak with them. And the cool thing is there's a science to it. It's not like there's a million different motivators. There's 5. When we get good at it, we can actually get many more of our patients to the healthy outcome that feels good to them and to us.
Yeah, that's such great advice. All right, if you had 3 pieces of advice for a new dentist or soon to be graduate, what would they be?
Monitor your results. Even if you're an associate, monitor your results. Have a performance plan. Have a performance plan and identify your most important goal, your WIG. Identify your WIG. So I think this is true, especially for practice owners, but really even as associates, because I mean, as an associate, at some point, you're going to want to advance your pay or your skill set, or you're going to want to have a practice piece of the ownership. So it's like, get some business skills going, right? So those are management skills, right? Know where you stand, have a plan for yourself, and then identify like the one thing that's going to make you better.
All right, Melinda, thank you so much for your time today and so much great information for the listeners. I hope someone reaches out to you. We'll have to have the bit.ly link. We'll have that in the show notes. And gosh, I just feel like you're speaking my love language. I feel like you and I are just on the same level on so many things with practice management. So I love talking to you and love and hear what you're coming up with. So thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, you're welcome.